Hail to the Redskin! Hail victory! Brave on the warpath! Fight for all we see!
Green driven back to midfield on the far side. He's got the ball up to the 45, far side 40. A seam to the 35, vaults a man to the 30. Breaks it to the near side 25. Watch out to the 20. Near side 10. He's gone! Touchdown, Washington Redskins!
This is Burgundy and Gold Flashback. Now, here's Mike Richmond.
You are listening to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, where the tradition of a storied NFL franchise, the Washington Redskins, stays alive. I'm Mike Richmond, author of the Redskins Encyclopedia and the Washington Redskins Football Vault. My website is redskinshistorian.com. That's redskinshistorian.com. It's Dallas week, so who better to have as my guest than a man who loved antagonizing the Cowboys? This happened in the 1970s when the Redskins and Cowboys built one of the premier rivalries in sports. He was a great defensive tackle, too, who anchored the line under the coaching of defensive mastermind George Allen. And he's one of the 80 greatest Redskins. Dyron Talbert, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm up here in Bruce, Montana, shooting some pheasant, and I can't believe I even got you. This little old town's got about 200 people in it and doesn't have a tower for too far. But anyway, I'm glad to be here.
All right.
I love to play the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you on. I know you were the man when it came to the Cowboys in terms of getting under their skin, and definitely want to. We're going to delve into that in terms of the things you said about Roger Staubach and so forth. So it's great that you're out in Montana. You're hunting with your buddies, and I know it's a little chilly out there too.
Pretty cold, but we had a pretty good day today.
Good. Well, as we speak, the Redskins are 2-5 with the 6-1 Cowboys coming up on Monday night in Dallas. And the Redskins have struggled for most of the season while the Cowboys are riding a 6-game win streak and are the talk of the NFL. I know you haven't seen much of the Redskins this season, but you're hoping for the best for general manager Bruce Allen. You know Bruce from way back, probably from the days when you played with the LA Rams, when he was there, I guess, a ball boy. He's the son of George Allen, who was the coach at the time.
Yeah, Bruce was about 3 foot tall, and he was running all over the dressing rooms. And sometimes I remember back through the years, we'd always say a prayer before the game. And sometimes Bruce would be kneeling right next to me. You know, just a little old bitty boy. He was just yawning in on the prayer. But he's a good kid and a good person and a good friend.
That's good. Well, Dallas week, like I said, was your time to shine. You played for George Allen from 1971 through 1977, and he intensified the rivalry. The Redskins had a rivalry with the Cowboys in the 60s, but George Allen really took it up another notch. He just detested the Cowboys. And for whatever reason, he tapped you to really get under their skin. And I know you had this running verbal feud with Roger Staubach. What were some of the things that you said to him and that were picked up by the newspapers? And he even told me that stuff really bothered him.
Well, it didn't bother him very much. Roger was a pretty cool guy, and you'd think it was bothering him sometimes, and it was just, you know, it may have bothered him a little bit when you're talking about knocking him out or hitting him and hurting him and stuff like that, but, you know, he was a battler. He battled as hard as I did, and you know, we said some things that probably weren't right, but that was part of the game in those days.
Did you say stuff like Roger Staubach wears skirts or Roger Staubach can't read defenses, stuff like that?
Well, I can't tell you really what I said, but it was something like that.
Uh-huh. And I know that even before the 1972 NFC Championship game, the Redskins' famous 26-3 win over the Cowboys that day and sent you guys to Super Bowl VII, you even said that Craig Morton, who was a friend of yours, should have started that game ahead of Roger Staubach. It ended up that Staubach did start the game, and you just walloped him. But you thought that even Craig Morton should have started that game.
Well, I've said that because he'd taken them all the way to the championship, and then Roger comes in, and he's playing. But, you know, that we got lucky that day that Craig wasn't playing. You know, Roger happened to be out there. He hadn't played a whole lot. But it was a battle, and we won the game, but and we were proud of it because of, you know, the Redskins or the Cowboys were a hard team to whip. So, you know, I don't know what came out of my mouth, but today I would have said the same thing, that they probably should have kept Craig in there, but, you know, it, but, that's what happened, and that's it worked out in our favor.
And you also said before the game against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day in 1974 that, hey, you know, if we knock Staubach out, all they've got is that rookie facing you, and that's one of our goals in the game. And, of course, what ended up happening is you guys did knock Staubach out, and then that Clint Longley fellow comes in and leads the Cowboys to victory that day.
Well, it's been a lot of years since I've played, and I got hit a lot of times. I really don't even remember that, but I know it happened.
Do you remember the Monday night game against Dallas when Kenny Houston made that tackle of Walt Garrison at the goal line?
I do. Yes, I do. I think we went over the same interview about 5 years ago, but I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a defensive ball game. In the championship game, I can tell you this, we beat it. I'm going back to something else you just talked about. But when we beat the Cowboys in the championship game, you know, we started out as underdogs. And I don't really know how we really won the game. I was just kidding you a while ago when I said I had no memory of what you were talking about. But there were some good memories through those years because – we beat the Cowboys all through the years as many times as they beat us, see. And when I came into the league, when I came to Washington, the Cowboys were in the same league as Philadelphia, St. Louis, and New York Giants, and they were in a division that they could whip any team any day. That's the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of changed it and turned it around after George Allen and our group came in there, and we made a battle of the division. You know, it wasn't no big deal. It was just we fought hard, and we were – George Allen did a good job, gave us a great game plan every week, and, you know, we were playing a division up there that we weren't even supposed to be in. And if you may not even remember when the divisions changed. But anyway, we had a ball playing the Cowboys. It was fun. It was a fun week. It was a fun game. And they had, to be honest with you, you know, a better personnel than we had, but we were able to keep up with them. And we respected them.
Absolutely. Well, just fascinating stuff. It's all part of Redskins lore. And those games that you played against the Cowboys in the 70s and then it carried over to the 80s, the rivalry was still at its height then. It was all part of one of the greatest rivalries in NFL history.
I agree with you.
Now, we need to go to break. Here's This Week in Redskins History.
Hey, it's Mike Richmond, the official Redskins historian and author of the Washington Redskins Football Vault and the Redskins Encyclopedia. From the pages of my books comes This Week in Redskins History. On October 29th, 1972, the Redskins earned a hard-fought 23-16 win over the Giants at Yankee Stadium. With the victory, the Skins improved to 6-1 and maintained momentum en route to an appearance that season in Super Bowl VII. But quarterback Sonny Jurgensen, who was peaking at the time, tore his Achilles tendon in the first quarter and was lost for the year. His replacement, Billy Kilmer, and running back Larry Brown picked up the slack. Kilmer threw for two TDs, and Brown rushed for a whopping 191 yards. Brown also ran for a touchdown and caught a scoring pass. He was named NFL Offensive Player of the Week for the second straight time. For more on Redskins history, check out my website at RedskinsHistorian.com. That's RedskinsHistorian.com. I'm Mike Richmond for This Week in Redskins History.
Welcome back to Burgundy and Gold Flashback. I'm Redskins historian Mike Richmond, back with Dyron Talbert, the Redskins' excellent defensive tackle from the 1970s. Dyron, thanks again for coming on the show.
Great to be here. It's great to be here, and I'm up here in Montana, doing what I like to do best, and that's, you know, hunting pheasant.
I know that you've been involved in that for quite a while, because I recall the last time I spoke to you, you were like out on a hunting expedition or something like that. Do you still have the Varmint Brothers? Is that the organization still going on?
Well, you can go online and look at varmintbrothers.com and see a lot of hunting events and stuff like that we've done around the country, mostly in Texas. And the Varmint Brothers are still alive and well.
And that group includes your brothers, right, Don and Charlie?
My brother Don, who played in the NFL and for 12 years and spent 11 months in Vietnam, and he was over there when Staubach was over there. My brother Charlie was over there, and I was in the California National Guard.
Yeah, I know you, I believe, you were teammates with Don at Texas, right? At the University
of Texas? Well, actually, I wasn't teammates with him. He is 6 years older than me. So he played for Darrell Royal. Then my brother Charlie came along and got a scholarship to Texas and played for Coach Royal. Then I came along after that and got a scholarship to the University of Texas. And so we had a Talbert brother that was in the starting lineup for Texas for 9 years. So, you know, we're old Texas boys.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you think of Colt McCoy? It looks like he's going to be starting for the Redskins in the Monday night game against the Cowboys. Of course, went to Texas, was a runner-up for the Heisman Trophy down there. But he's looks like
oh,
he's...
Oh, yeah. Colt. I know Colt. I know the whole, you know, the family and stuff. And I just wish him the best. It's going to be tough for him to stay in the lineup because, you know, they're not going to get rid of RG3 too quick. But if he just gets an opportunity to play in the NFL, you know, even if it's 4 or 5 years or through a few years, you know, you can get better every year. Sometimes these quarterbacks get better as they age, and I hope that's what happens to RG3. But it just, you know, when you get hurt all the time, it's a tough deal. But, hell, you can't help it. You cannot help it. When you get hit hard, football is the type of game I told my children as they were growing up, if you don't play hard, you get hurt. And you probably don't understand that, but it's the truth, because you can actually get hurt very badly in professional football.
Well, he seems like a kid with a good head on his shoulders, and I was listening to him in his press conference after the Tennessee game on Sunday. He played the entire second half, completed 11 of 12 passes, and the Redskins pulled that one out. So he seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders and good, you know, he's focused and everything. So we'll see what happens. I know the Cowboys look strong on paper. They've won 6 games in a row, but anything can happen in this rivalry.
For Colt McCoy, all I say is hook 'em horns.
Well, after your college career, you played your first 4 seasons in the NFL with the Los Angeles Rams, and of course George
right.
Allen was your coach, and then
right.
then Allen was let go by the Rams after the 1970 season, and he was hired by the Redskins, 71, and he brought a lot of his players from the Rams with him, and they became
right.
known as the Ramskins, and you were one of the Ramskins. Well, how did you like playing with all those guys that you had been teammates with the Rams?
They were all great friends then, and they were great friends of mine, you know, today.
Do you keep in touch with any of them?
I see some of them. I saw a bunch of them last year, Ron McDowell, Pat Fisher, and Bill Brundage, and Dave Butts, and some of those guys. I got to see them in a deal last year and a couple of years ago. But we had a real close team. George Allen was the type of coach that made sure the players were close.
Right, I know that was one of the great things about him, motivator and inspirational, and right, he wanted that cohesiveness on the team. Speaking of the George Allen era, well, 1971, you guys went 9-4-1. That was your first playoff season in a quarter century. in D.C.,
right.
And that was the start of a memorable era in Redskins history from 71 through 77 while he coached there. There were five playoff seasons, and then you also went to Super Bowl VII, that 14-7 loss to the Miami Dolphins, who finished that season undefeated. What? Tell me a little more about George Allen. I know that he was the success of that team was mostly predicated on a tough defense, but in terms of Allen, he was very eccentric. Give me some of his peculiarities, or tell me about his personality.
George, every meeting, every day, he had all the defense, all the coaches, all the cameramen. We had cameramen everywhere because we took pictures of our practice from the end zone, from the sideline, from the ground. So we'd have all those players and all those people in a meeting room. The whole group of us, everybody. Sometimes some of the girls from the inner office were in there. And then after the meeting was over, all the people would leave the room that weren't defensive players. Only the defense would stay. See, so that was George Allen. That's the way he was.
Right.
He was a defensive coordinator and a defensive coach. And he very seldom ever went in the meeting room with the offense. You know, we had some great coaches. I mean, but they had to do their job because George was going to do his job with the defense the best he could. So that's the way we played. We were a defensive team. We led the league a lot of years and points scored and yards gained and stuff like that. But anyway, it was good. It was fun.
I know George was he was a defensive genius. And before we go, I just wanted to ask you one thing. Well, you played at 6'5", 255 as a defensive tackle. And I should say you also had 56 sacks in your 10 seasons as a Redskin, which is now fifth in team history for all-time sacks. But you also relied heavily on the head slap, which was legal through your first 10 seasons in the league. Did you learn that from Deacon Jones, who he sort of patterned that head slap?
That was Deacon Jones, Darren Talbert, and it was just a little quick two-head slap, left, right, and then your little arm over type of move. And they outlawed it in 1984. The NFL outlawed it. And George Allen wanted me to sue the NFL for outlawing it. He said, "Darren, we ought to sue the NFL for outlawing a head slap." That was my move, and my sack rate went down, but it was okay. Part of the game. Today it's a push and shove game, and from what I can see, the way the game is going today, and I've told people this, that the players will start getting paid in the next 5 to 10 years smaller and the smaller payrolls because it's going to take less talent for them to do their job.
Really?
That's the only way I can see it. It don't take a lot of talent to do what a lot of those guys that are taking $2 or $3 million a year. It don't take a lot of talent to do what they're doing. So, something's going to happen.
So, you're saying the game is much, much different from the days when you played?
Yeah, it doesn't take as much talent to play. So, in the long run, the way I see it, it's going to take less and less talent to play the way they've changed the rules. So, they're going to get paid less and less money.
I've never heard that theory before, but that is very, very interesting.
Take it and run with it.
Right. That's really interesting. Well, Darren, I want to thank you again very much for coming on the show. I know you're busy out there having fun with your buddies, and also it's obviously cold out there, so I want you to get inside and be warm. But I'm sure I'll be calling you again sometime in the future to come on the show and probably for interviews as well.
I'll be available. Thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Thank you,
and
too.
I almost said hook 'em horns, but what I really meant to say was, get them Redskins.
Hail to the Redskins.
I got it. Okay, buddy.
Well, all right. Well, many thanks to my audience for listening to Burgundy and Gold Flashback. And thanks to my producer, Mike Engel, for his work running the board. I'm Mike Richmond. My website is redskinshistorian.com. That's RedskinsHistorian.com. For now, hail to the Redskins.